I'm here to help. All right, I'm here to be a blessing. Oh, my goodness. Boy, everybody's making out tonight. Yeah. Wowzer. Awesome. It's cool. Coloring books and, you know, a little candy. That'll motivate you to start memorizing some scriptures, won't it? Awesome, blossom. There you go. There you go. We had when I was a kid, we had a crusade come through our church, and we had a big bunny, those bunny lovers in here, and the motto was, "Praise the Lord for Toggy Turiel." So he had a speech impediment, but but he was thankful for Toggy Turiel. So anyway, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, tonight, since we've got eggs, and don't think about eggs outside, we only just have a three-hour dissertation tonight, so everybody, I hope I brought you lunch. So, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we got a lot of sugar, so anyway.
Baskets back there for anybody.
That's right. We'll be up till 3 in the morning, so it's all right. But anyway, last time, remember we were talking about authority, right?
Yes.
We were just talking about authority. We're really not going to get into our authority tonight, but it's really important for us. We got into Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 last time, and God commissioned us, put an authority on us to do what? Let's turn here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, and it says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image and to be like us." Well, we can say that the Trinity was there at that time, correct? Yes. God is not schizophrenic saying, you know, me, myself, and I, but there was God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there. We see that the Holy Spirit was in, when the world was recreated, he was hovering across the face of the waters. What was he doing? He was waiting for the word to be spoken. So the Holy Spirit was there. Who is the Word? The Word's Jesus, right? And who spoke the Word? The Father. So we see the Trinity was there. So he is speaking, let us make man, we say mankind, in our image, after our likeness. They will reign over the fish of the sea. Say reign.
Reign.
Reign. That means that you and I were, and through Adam and Eve, were originally commissioned to have authority over this earth. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, and snakes that hang from trees. What's God saying? Snake coming! Snake's coming! And then, so God created human beings in his own image. We didn't come from monkeys. I hate to break that to you, but I know some of your relatives, you probably think they came from monkeys some days, but no, we didn't come from monkeys, all right? I know it's a shock. In the image of God, he created them, 52 different gender identities, right? No, there's only two. That's male and female, right? But I'm not a biologist, so.
Right. Well, you're
neither was the nurse when I was born either. But they figured it out. So God bless them. Thank God there was a biologist. And then verse 20, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. And what reign? King James says rule, right? Have authority. You notice he says that multiple times. You ever notice, you know, when God says something multiple times, we need to listen. Remember that old commercial? When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Remember that old school? Probably were like looking like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But there was this TV. When he says things, he says rain, and then later he says rain. And remember in Joshua 1:8, before the Hebrews went into the promised land, what did he say? Don't be afraid. By the way, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid. And then don't be afraid. And then don't be afraid. And then by the way, don't be afraid. And what do you mean? Don't be afraid. And this, we can say this. You need to reign over the fish sea. You need to reign. And then you need to reign. And by the way, did I mention you need to reign? What does it mean? It means take control. I've left it to you. And then we also read here, we're kind of skipping through because we talked about this last week. You can go online and listen to this. But Genesis 2, 15 through 17, this is the interaction between the serpent and Eve, correct? And then later, Adam showed up on the scene. But, I'm sorry, this is where God is talking to, excuse me, this is the commission that God told, is talking to Adam first. Then we'll get to the serpent. But in 2, God is talking directly to Adam, and he says, you know, warned him, he says, you may eat freely the fruit of every garden, every tree in the garden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So God said, you could eat of every tree, but just this one don't eat. And when you eat it, right? He specifically says, eat it, then you'll die. Okay, so God gives the instructions, all right? Skip down to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We're doing catch up here. The serpent, which was the shrewdest of all the wild animals, the Lord God had made. Now, and then one day he asked the woman, now stop right here. Who had authority over the serpent? Adam and Eve, right? God already commissioned them to take authority in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. He said, you are in control. You have the authority. They have authority over the serpent. And the serpent said, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the Garden of Eden? Well, that's not what he said, was it? We just read that. Verse 2, and of course we may eat from the fruits of the tree in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch it or even look at it or smell it or think about it. No, he didn't say any of that stuff, did he? He just said, as long as you don't eat it, then you won't die. But now we're creating scripture in this, aren't we? Now we're adding to it. You ever those people? You know, they like to twist everything around. Well, you know, the love or money is the root of all evil. Well, no, it's not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil, right? So we begin to change scriptures, to do things differently, right? Have you ever run into those people before where, you know, they don't want to repent of sin, they don't want to repent of things, they don't want to get into the word, they're just cop out on everything. Well, God loves me the way I am. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's not the way the Bible says. I mean, God loves you. He's an unconditional love, but he just doesn't accept everything. But see, we twist things around. And what is that? That's evil. We don't take the word at its face value. You know, it's amazing how many denominations we have in all over the world, and we have the same book. But somehow we get 900,000 different interpretations of everything. You know, I mean, if I brought in Alice in Wonderland and read you Alice in Wonderland, there would mean no debate on what would, we would, you know, it's amazing how when I was a kid, we'd read stories, we'd read different things, or you'd, you know, read nursery rhymes, or you'd read, you know, Disney stories or anything else, and how, you know, it's like, well, Cinderella was there, and this happened, and well, there's no debate. You know, it's not like we're going to sit down and have a big debate about it. But somehow, we can read, you know, the account of David and Goliath, and somehow we're thinking that David's the bad guy, Israelites are evil, the Philistines are the good, and somehow, you know, Goliath is some... How do we come up with that, right? It's amazing how we can open this book, and people can read the same thing. Well, it's deception, isn't it? Right? Just like in the garden, we see that there's deception. The word came forth... And the enemy comes along, twists the word and changes things in the process to try to give it a different meaning, doesn't he? Right? So that's not what God said. He didn't say any of that. But he says, well, of course we may eat from the tree, Eve replied. But it's only that. You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Well, God didn't say if you touch it, you'll die. What did he say? He says, if you eat it, you will die. Right? Why is this so important? Because it's a tithe. God said, this is something that belongs to me. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good deal. I mean, you know, Adam and Eve have every single tree in the garden of everything. I mean, they could pretty much go and do whatever they wanted to, except for this one tree they couldn't touch. Right? So, and then verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. No, they knew good. Mm-hmm. We don't want to know evil. Why do we need to know evil?
Right.
You ever notice that? Like, I don't want to know all the junk that goes on, you know? I don't need to watch all the glory, all the gory, yucky stuff on TV. Why do I need to meditate on the evil stuff? I don't need to. But somehow the devil thought this is a good selling point, and it wasn't. Plus, what he's also saying, what's he saying? What you have is not good enough. It's a lie all the time of the devil, doesn't it? All the time. It's not good enough, right? Your life is not good enough. The things God has given you is not good enough. Well, let's just back up here a moment. You know, we're always, many people in the world always blaming God. Well, God didn't give me this and God didn't give me this. God's not out building houses. He gives us the materials to do that, right? Hello? Right? He gives you the what? Power to get wealth, right? See, the same people that are waiting for God to take authority over the devil and do everything are often many of the same people that want to sit around and do nothing, right? And wait for God. Well, it's God's will. No, it's God's will that we get off our rears and do something for a living, right? We work. We go to we own businesses. We create something. We're productive, right? If you don't believe that, then why did God talk about the parable of the talents? The three that had 10, the one that had 5, the one that had 1, right? The one that had 10, or he went out and produced something and came back with, you know, that produced something. And he's like, well, good, that's great. The one with 5, yeah, that's great. The one that says, like, well, I got scared, I didn't do anything, wasn't very good for him, was it? Why? And the same with here. God gave us this earth to produce something. He gave Adam and Eve wonderful resources, right? And by the way, I've read reviews about, you know, because the world system is always like, we don't have enough resources, everybody's going to die, everything's awful terrible. And I read this and I read it again from multiple sources. They're talking about, we've only used up 1% of our resources. 1% of our resources. I mean, you can't believe that God didn't put us here, knew that we were going to need resources here to survive, right? I mean, you realize there's charted parts of like, for example, Canada. Most of Canada's not even inhabited. How many trees are in Canada? Do you know, we built a house in 2017. Guess where the lumber came from?
Canada.
Right? Guys, there's so many resources available that, I mean, and the news is going to really lie to you. We don't have enough oil. Everything's a shortage. Well, it's all manufactured junk, okay? My God put me here with more than enough resources.
Yeah.
Right? And the world system is always trying to get it where it's not good enough. It's that's the devil's mindset. Lack mindset. It's a mindset of a lack. You don't have enough. Poverty mentality. But the people who are pushing it, they're worth trillions, right? But you and I, we are, you know, supposed to gravel. That's the way the devil is and all his cohorts. They want all the money, everything else too, but they're not willing to. My God shall supply all my needs according to riches and glory. Amen?
Amen.
And when I was at Rhema, there was a lady there, and she goes, and the taters underneath. Right? Right? And so it's a mentality, isn't it? It's a mentality. It's the same people. Why? Because it belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the devil. These resources on this earth weren't put here for the devil. They were put here for you and I. Right? And why are we to take control and take authority over it? Why? Because we're going to find out more in the weeks to come is this. Sometimes we're praying for things that we really need to be taking authority over.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? But then too, we can't cross streams and we can't, you know, try to use authority over something we don't have the authority to do. Right? That's why Jesus said when he was praying for a little boy, he goes, where's his parents at? Right? Because he knew. What was it? The parents have the authority over the children. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he still was looking for parents, right? Because we have authority. So anyway, we see here the serpent says, oh, you won't die. God knows your eyes will be open, as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. Well, let me just say this. They were already like God. Because why? They were made in God's image, right? Did we miss that part or not? No, we were made in God's image. So number one, he's a liar because he says, well, made like we're already there. Number two, we already have our eyes open to goodness. Why do we need? The only thing he's talking about is really when you sift through all this junk is, I'm going to open your eyes to evil. We don't need evil. We don't need it. We don't need it. So we're already like God. We've already had a revelation of goodness because God is goodness, right? And then the only thing left is evil. And really what he's saying is, I'm going to flood this with evil. And then also, too, I'm going to take your authority away. Well, Jesus came back and gave us the authority, right? Question here. All right, we talked about last week. Why didn't God stop this whole thing? Because he gave Adam and Eve the authority, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, how come, you know, everybody, you know, all these people in religious sense always want to go around asking, well, you know, is it really God's will? God's will is the Garden of Eden. Hello? Where was the Garden of Eden? We had more than enough, right? You're around God, and it's like, think about it. Adam and Eve, you know, his cup runneth over. I mean, here's the thing about God is we have a cup, and he keeps pouring, and you're like, it's running over, God. Okay, you can stop now. Okay, well, it's on the floor. It's running down the street now, and he just keeps pouring. He just keeps pouring, he keeps pouring, it's because he keeps pouring. But see, we live in a sin consciousness mentality, right, that it's bad to have money. It's bad to be blessed. But God, from the beginning, blessed us, right? So he gave Adam and Eve the authority, like we see there in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. He gave man authority, but he's kept saying, subdue, reign, reign, reign. And then, by the way, reign, reign, and reign. He didn't stop that from going on. He didn't stop and say, snake, you're done. You're out of here. Stop it right now. Because he gave that to Adam and Eve. They chose, because he gave the authority to them to have over the earth, they chose to give it to the serpent, right? And then later we see Jesus came and took it back for us, right? Now, this is the interesting thing is the time frame we're in now, we see the good and the evil. We have a choice to choose the good, but guess what? When we get to the other side on heaven, we can have the revelation of we did experience evil and we don't have to experience it anymore. We didn't willfully choose that. We can now be with him. And so it's a little different. It's a lot different than angels. That, you know, I mean, you're always with God. Think about that. You know, all of God's creation, his angels, everything, all they have seen is they started out with the face of God. They've never experienced things we have. We have experienced evil, and we chose good and came back to him. And we can have an appreciation of the good things of God. Amen? Amen. Where Adam and Eve had no idea what they were getting themselves into, or all of us in the process. So we can look back and say, thank you, Jesus. Because it was terrible on the earth. You're thinking about eggs, aren't you? Are you thinking about? Are you guys thinking about eggs, or is it just me? Okay. We'll close it up here, in just a second. But so again, you know, people will sit back and say, "Well, what was God's?" You know, I just don't know what God's will is. We can go back to the Garden of Eden and say, have the revelation of that's what God's will was, right? It was more than enough, right? Perfect peace and harmony with nature. God came down, fellowshiped in the cool of the day. The Lord did. They had more than enough to go around. There was, you know, no evil, no violence. Nobody was sick. Sickness was not even a thought. But the enemy is always saying, like, it's never going to, like, what Christ did, what God did when he created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, that was not good enough. Are you kidding me? We see here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. Verse 13 says, "Then the Lord God asked the woman, 'Why have you done this? Or what have you done?' And she said, 'The serpent deceived me,' she replied. 'That's why I ate it.'" You know, every time we're in sin consciousness, right? You get little kids, what are they doing? They're doing the blame game, right? You know, it's amazing how, you know, when something goes right, everybody in the house, you know, wants to take credit for it. But when something wrong happens, you know, "I didn't do it." It's just incredible, right? Let's see. The dogs are in their kennels. You know, they can't jump up on the top of this. They can't. Let's see. Yeah, that's interesting. Right? Sin, that sin, they just want to blame everybody else. And then he goes on, and the woman says, "Well, that's why I ate it. And the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you've done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly.'" So obviously the serpent was some other form of creation, right? It must have legs or something. "And groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." So what is the Lord saying? He's like basically saying Jesus is coming. And what's the enemy doing? The serpent's doing? He's looking for that offspring that's going to crush his head. He was looking for it in the days of Moses. Kept looking. And he's been doing all kinds of other junk since then. And then in the days of Jesus, obviously, through, you know, Herod was trying to kill him. The kings were trying to kill. Obviously, the pharaohs were trying to kill off, looking for Moses during that time because he knew something's coming. John 5:16, we'll end with this. John 5:16 through 18, it says, "So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, 'God is,'" no, he didn't. What did he say there? "My Father," right? "'Is always working, and so am I.' So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him, for he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God." I just want to stop here for a second. When you talk to religious people, they lose their minds over this. I love it. I mean, they absolutely lose their minds when you start talking relationship with the Father, right? Religious folks, they cannot handle this stuff. Well, let me... let's look at Luke chapter 3, verse 38. I'm going to bounce. I lied. I'm sorry. One more sermon. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, all right. Luke 3:38. All right, and I'm just using the New Testament version. You can look at the Old Testament version to other this, and it says, "Which this is a lineage." Now, I love it. I love everything I'm hearing here. Let's just, I love it. It's wonderful stuff. When you start getting the word, it's just awesome. "Which was the son of Enos? Which was the son of Seth? Which was the son of Adam? Which was the son of God?" Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Sorry, religious folks. We are the sons and daughters of God. Because he equaled himself with God. Well, no, I'm not quite equal with God, right? Never going to be on that plane. But I am made in his image and after his likeness. And I am a son of God. Not the son of God, but I am a son. You are a son or a daughter if you have accepted Christ, right? No religious nutbag is going to take that from me or you.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with that comes authority that the devil hates.
Yeah.
We're going to get into some scriptures, but I'm going to give you a little teaser here real quick. The devil has always wanted your position. He's been jealous and angry of it. Yeah. You're like, well, he's trying to overtake God. Yes, but he wants your authority on the earth because he can never have the position you and I have. Ever. It never going to happen. It never was going to happen. Even though angels, God has made them with a certain ability and everything else, they are never going to equal us. They're never going to equal us. Never going to equal you. We are so incredibly uniquely made. We are not like anything God has ever created. Ever. And the devil hates it. Because he wanted the position that we have with him, and he can't get it. So he's doing everything he can to do that. But guess what? We have authority over him. We have authority over him. We're going to start getting into more of this stuff, but I love it, I love it, I love it. Everything about it, I love it, right? Because the devil cannot, hates it when he is reminded and people know that we have, you know why the devil wins so much against people is because they don't know what they've got. Can you imagine the military sending, you know, we got some folks in there, you know, military. Can you imagine sending the military in, giving those folks weapons and not knowing what they have? Right? We have got nuclear bazookas pointed at the devil, and we're looking, I don't know how to work this thing. I mean, what do you do here? I don't know. And he's laughing at many Christians because we're sitting around going, I don't know. I remember listening to a guy one time talking about prayer. And this is why the devil fights so much against praying in tongues. The Lord showed him that when we begin to pray in tongues, he goes, it's literally like a nuclear weapon going off in the spirit realm. We are praying out mysteries unto God. We are praying things. The enemy is absolutely defenseless. When we begin to use these things, we see there in Ephesians, it talks about putting on the armor of God. We have weapons, right? And what's the offensive weapon we have? Well, we have the shield of faith. We have the sword of the what? The Spirit. And it's what our words are. Within those words, there's so much revelation within that. Within that is authority. You and I have authority, amen?
Amen.
We can tell the devil where to go and where to stick it. The sword of the Spirit. Use your imagination. Amen. We don't have to put over that stuff. Amen. It's stop. We need to stop thinking religious orphans. Start thinking about royalty. Amen.
Amen.
We have royal blood. We have just godly DNA running all through us if we're born again. And the devil's lying to us and saying, well, you ain't got it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you ain't got it. Because I'm going to give it to you. Amen?
Amen?
Understanding our authority. There's so much stuff I want to talk about I can't. Because we got delicious eggs to tap into, don't we? Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord God, we praise you. Thank you for the authority we have, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. That we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We are reign and rule with you, Christ. We are seated at the right hand of the Father with you. We are joint heirs tonight. We glorify you in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn over Adrian. I don't know what we're doing here.
Okay.
You got it. We got a game plan.